As evening darkens into night, lights come on in the skyscrapers of a waterfront cityscape. The lights merge to form the words Miramax Films. Miramax Films presents in association with Elite Group Enterprises, Inc., an Edco Films Chang Yimou Studio Production, in collaboration with China Film Co-Production, SIL Metropole Organization Limited, and Beijing New Picture Film Company Limited. White subtitles against a black background. People give up their lives for many reasons. For friendship, for love, for an ideal. And people kill for the same reasons. Before China was one great country, it was divided into seven warring states. A map of ancient China shows the westerly kingdom of Qing, stretching from north to south, and on its mountainous northern border, the smaller kingdom of Chao. In the kingdom of Qing was a ruthless ruler. He had a vision: to unite the land, to put an end, once and for all, to war. It was an idea soaked in the blood of his enemies. The screen fades to black. In any war, there are heroes on both sides. 200 Chinese characters fill the screen, superimposed across them, the English title, Hero. The Kingdom of Qin. Mounted soldiers gallop across a bleak plain. Clouds race over the mountains behind them, seeming to spur them on. In amongst the riders, a coachman urges his pair of horses forward. Black pennants stream out from the tips of the soldiers' lances, and a plume of white dust billows from the horses' hooves. Inside the horse-drawn carriage, a man in his early 30s stares down at three slim, carved wooden boxes.
I was orphaned at a young age and was never given a name. People simply called me Nameless. With no family name to live up to, I devoted myself to the sword. I spent 10 years perfecting unique skills as a swordsman. The King of Qing has summoned me to court, but what I have accomplished has astonished the kingdom.
The great wooden doors of the gateway to the king's palace open. The soldiers in black armor and riding black horses trot through gateway after gateway, their white plumes bobbing on their helmets. The lead horseman halts the coach and its escort in a high-walled, narrow passageway. He dismounts and runs up some steps, through a gateway into a vast courtyard. Black-robed courtiers in black-pointed caps line the paved pathway ahead of him. He kneels in front of a grave-looking man wearing a pointed black cap, with what resembles a cross protruding from the top of it.
By order of His Majesty, we have travelled overnight to bring the warrior to see you, Prime Minister.
Nameless climbs the steps to the courtyard, accompanied by an old white-robed servant, who places the three carved boxes in front of the Prime Minister, who opens them. The lines of courtiers discreetly crane their necks to glimpse the contents of the boxes.
Sky, snow, and broken sword. These three assassins from Chao for 10 years have repeatedly plotted to kill His Majesty, so that he has not known a single peaceful night's sleep. Today we discover that a hero from our great kingdom of Qing has single-handedly wiped out the enemy. From now on, His Majesty can once more sleep without fear. His Majesty's courtiers congratulate him. Heaven has sent a great warrior to vanquish the assassins.
A black-robed official scurries down the broad steps of the palace, flanked by the assembled courtiers, and runs up to the Prime Minister.
By His Majesty's command, summon the warrior.
Nameless solemnly walks between the rows of courtiers towards the massive stone stairway, 3 stories high, that leads to the many-roofed royal palace. As he mounts the steps, it becomes apparent that the immense courtyard is filled with row upon row of black-robed officials. In an antechamber, attendants strip him naked. His warrior's tunic is discarded, and even his long, tightly wound pigtail is fingered and searched. Before they dress him, in a simple black robe and headband.
When you enter the palace, remain 100 paces from the throne at all times, or you will be killed without question. Please do not forget.
In the great hall, a musician taps out a tune on huge bells. Carved pillars run the length of the hall, leading to a flight of steps, at the top of which a figure sits on a throne. In front of him, five rows of bronze warrior effigies, each holding a lighted candle. Nameless comes a few paces into the hall, kneels and prostrates himself. The king on the throne opens one of the three carved boxes and takes out the white tasseled blade of a silver spear.
For 10 years, no one has approached within 100 paces of the throne. Do you know why? Assassins were everywhere. Correct. As long as there are assassins, I could not remove my armor. Now that you have rooted out this evil on our behalf, what do you desire as a reward? To rid Great Qin of its enemies is my duty. I desire no reward. In accordance with Qing law, you must be properly rewarded.
The king examines the blade.
Sky's silver spear has wounded untold numbers of our brave Qing warriors. Pronounce my edict. By order of His Majesty, he who vanquishes the assassin Sky will be awarded 1,000 pieces of gold and authority over 1,000 households. Advance within 20 paces of the throne and drink with His Majesty.
Servants bring boxes of gold and place a low table 20 paces from the foot of the steps. Nameless kneels in front of it and bows low.
According to my informants, you are a citizen of Qing. Your humble servant, Nameless, prefect of Lanmeng District. A mere local prefect with authority over no more than 10 square miles. This is the lowest rank of office in our kingdom. What enabled you to overcome the three deadly assassins from Chao? I dealt with them one at a time. Tell me, in detail. Perhaps your majesty has heard that Broken Sword and Snow were lovers. Indeed I have. And was your majesty aware that they had not spoken to each other for 3 years? 3 years without words, why was that? Snow and Sky had spent one night together as lovers. Broken Sword took this to heart. Why have I not heard about this? It took your servant much effort to uncover this secret. To create a rift between Snow and Broken Sword, I first had to dispose of Sky. I am beginning to fathom your strategy. Your majesty is most perceptive. What did you use to defeat Sky? The sword. Within Lanmeng, it is my responsibility to arrest criminals. On the 5th day of the 6th month, Sky was discovered in a chess house. I had heard that he was a lover of chess and music, and was a frequent visitor.
Rain drips down on the courtyard of the chess house. Sky places a counter on a stone chessboard. His opponent places his, then ceremonially ties a black headband around his head. Behind him, his 6 companions do the same. Frightened chess players flee. Sky does not look up at the warriors confronting him.
The 7 elite guards from Qing Court. We have been trailing you for days. You are under arrest. Reveal your weapon and identify yourself.
Sky and the grey-robed elite guards stand facing each other across the courtyard. Their leader steps forward and holds up his sword. Sky bows. To one side, a musician with long silver hair plays the Ku Qin. Sky uses his silver spear like a fighting staff without unwrapping the blade from its leather pouch. Scornfully, he strikes the guard captain on the jaw. The man retaliates. Sky sends him spinning to the ground and prods the spear against his chest. Two more guards attack. Sky disarms them, then stuns them with flying kicks. The remaining 4 guards attack Sky from all sides. His spear flashes in circles as he leaps into the air, feet flying. His spear crashes down on the sword blades. The 4 guards stare down at the mangled blades in their hands. Sky puts up his spear. The guards bow and step back into line with their defeated comrades. Bowing in return, Sky, his black hair falling to the waist of his brown long-sleeved tunic, worn over an ankle-length robe, walks across the courtyard of the chess house towards the door.
Halt! The local prefect, what can I do for you? This region is under my control, and you are a wanted criminal. I am here to arrest you.
小小庭长有何贵干？此地归我辖管。如何？
你乃大王通缉的要犯，我当拿你归案。Nameless holds up his sheathed sword in salute. Sky acknowledges the gesture by turning fully to face him, spear ready at his side. Launching himself with a stupendous leap, Nameless races across the courtyard. His boots splash over the rain-soaked flagstones. Sky's eyes widen with concern. Nameless draws his sword and flies through the air. Sky parries, but the sword blade nicks his cheek. Sky leaps backward into the courtyard. Nameless springs after him and they hang, suspended in midair. Pirouetting away from each other, they land lightly on their feet. The shaft of Sky's spear quivers from the force of Nameless's blow. Fixing his eye on his opponent, Sky carefully unties the leather pouch that covers the tip of his spear and discards it. The blade is decorated with a long white tassel. Both men come on guard. As Sky attacks, the shaft of his spear twists and flexes as if made of bamboo. The white-haired musician slips his kuchin into a cloth bag, picks up his begging bowl, and with a long white cane, urgently taps his way towards the courtyard doorway.
Sir, would you be kind enough to play us another tune?
Nameless drops a handful of coins into the begging bowl. The white-bearded musician sits down beneath the central pavilion, takes the seven-stringed zither from his bag, and lays it across his knees. The elite guards watch Nameless and Sky slowly back away from each other, as Nameless later explains to the king.
Martial arts and music share the same principles. Both wrestle with complex chords and rare melodies. We stood facing each other. For a long time, neither of us made a move, while our combat unfolded in the depths of our minds.
First Sky, then Nameless close their eyes, while in black and white their imagined selves fight each other to and fro across the chess house courtyard. Sword and spear flash and whirl at bewildering speeds. Nameless leaps onto a balcony rail and leans forward at an impossible angle, as if suspended on wires. Both men leap and spin high in the air as they jump over each other's weapons. In actuality, their eyes remain closed as the hands of the blind musician sweep across the kuchin strings and water drips from the tiled roofs of the small pavilions that shelter each stone chessboard. Raindrops splash down onto the abandoned chess game. In the imagined fight, Sky, using his flexible spear to pole vault out of danger, hangs by his feet from the rafters and continues fighting upside down. Nameless jumps back and Sky swings down until both men are standing halfway up the pavilion's wooden pillars in defiance of gravity, their bodies horizontal. They drop to the ground. Nameless tangles his sword in the white tassel of Sky's spear. Their eyes meet across their weapons. But in reality, they remain closed. The ferocity of the imagined fight increases in tempo with the music until, as Sky slams his spear down on Nameless's sword, the musician slams his hand on the strings, breaking them. Both men open their eyes. Nameless runs at Sky, who twirls the point of his spear so that the white tassel sprays out rainwater like a Catherine wheel. The water hangs in the air, forming a crystal shield between the two warriors. But as Nameless's sword pierces it, it shatters like glass. The sword blade carries on, thrusting into Sky's midriff and slicing off the tip of his spear. Nameless sheathes his sword before either the tip of the spear or Sky's body has hit the ground. The king, listening to the story with eyes closed, opens them.
How quick your sword must be. I prided myself in knowing every corner of our land, yet I was unaware that within the small district of Lanmeng there was such a talent as yours.
He opens the two remaining boxes. Each contains a sword.
Broken Sword. Flying Snow. By edict of His Majesty, the assassins Broken Sword and Flying Snow have always worked as partners. He who eliminates either one of them is awarded 10,000 pieces of gold and authority over 5,000 households. Advance 10 paces and drink with His Majesty.
Servants move the low table to within 10 paces of the king. A momentary image shows the king slashing through banners of green silk with a sword.
3 years ago, Snow and Broken Sword stormed our palace together. 3,000 soldiers were unable to resist them. I have since had this hall emptied, so that there is nowhere to hide. Are you saying that your sword was swifter than theirs, combined? No.
The king nods.
So how did you overcome them?
Nameless rides towards a walled city in a desert, surrounded by snow-capped mountains.
I disguised myself as a citizen of Chao and went searching for them in their kingdom. It was rumored they were hiding in a small calligraphy school. I arrived as Your Majesty's troops approached. People fled in terror. Only the students and their master remained.
The calligraphy master.
Why have you come at such a time? Who are you? I'm from a small province in Chao. My father's dying wish was to acquire a scroll from your illustrious school. I fear this may be the last day of our school, my honorable guest. Whose calligraphy do you seek? Master Broken Swords. Broken Sword's power was immediately apparent to me. Rumor had it that his martial arts skills were rooted in his calligraphy in order to discover the swordsman I had first to study the calligrapher.
Who is Broken Sword?
Which character do you seek? Sword.
Broken Sword and his female assistant look up in surprise.
My honored guest is fond of swords. I'm merely fulfilling my father's last wish.
Broken Sword practices his writing in a sand tray with a long stick. The young woman smooths over the sand with a rake. All three wear orange robes.
What dimension of scroll? 8 feet. A scroll of that size requires red ink.
Master wishes to borrow some red ink from the mistress, says the young assistant to a smooth-skinned woman who reclines languidly on a mat drinking tea. Master wishes to borrow some red ink. The woman, Snow, looks up indifferently at the girl on the other side of the bamboo screen. Has mistress heard my request? Master wishes to borrow some red ink. Snow tosses her tea to the girl. Tell him to come himself. The girl, Moon, turns on her heel and stomps back to her master, past a room of students sitting cross-legged, practicing their calligraphy in their sand trays. As Broken Sword marches off to the private room of the calligraphy master, Nameless observes the rising tension.
Your student respectfully requests some red ink.
Broken Sword returns along a passageway with his red ink, passing the room where Snow scornfully sits drinking tea with her back to the door. In his room, Broken Sword practices drawing an elaborate pictogram in the sand tray. Moon smooths over the sand with her rake. Nameless kneels on the other side of the doorway, watching them through a slatted bamboo screen.
Broken Sword had not even started on the scroll when Your Majesty's troops arrived at the city gates.
A vast army crosses the desert towards the small walled city. Hundreds of foot soldiers and cavalry swarm over the featureless dusty plain, carrying an array of fantastically shaped spears and lances. Their red and black pennants stream out in the breeze. They advance with terrifying precision. Behind the foot soldiers with their spears and shields march archers with crossbows and longbows. Behind the archers, soldiers carrying racks full of arrows. Behind them, more huge crossbows on wooden supports, each carried by 4 men. An officer shouts, "Prepare." In perfectly formed ranks, the crossbowmen drop into a sitting position, their crossbows resting on their outstretched legs in front of them. The armorers run forward between the rows, carrying their racks of arrows. Each one takes up position beside an archer and kneels. The archers lie back with their legs in the air, the crossbows braced against their feet and pointing skywards.
Your Majesty's army has never lost a war because they never underestimated their enemy. Their tactics are brilliant and the archers are peerless in their range and accuracy. Wherever they venture, their reputation precedes them.
The helmeted crossbowmen on their backs, longbowmen kneeling and standing, and the giant artillery bowmen all wait. The order is given. Storm, cry the troops. Arrows fly, salvo after salvo, dimming out the sun like a swarm of locusts. They fall in a deadly curve towards the buildings of the city. The airborne missiles shatter the tiles of the calligraphy school roof. The panicking students scatter, leaping over sand trays and the bodies of their fallen comrades. As they surge towards the door, they're met by the calligraphy master, his long white hair tied in a topknot on his head. He stares them down with unblinking, watery eyes.
You must all remember, the arrows of Qin may be powerful. They may penetrate our cities and destroy our kingdom, but they can never annihilate our written word. Today, you will learn the true spirit of our art.
As he steps into the room, the students part to let him pass. Calmly, he sits on a simple stool at the head of the class. Arrows fly past and thud into the wooden wall behind him. Without demurring, he takes up his writing stick and draws in the sand tray at his feet. The students return to their places. Storm, cry the troops, and another salvo of arrows darkens the sky. Arrows stud the roof like pincushions. Inside, the students work on, even though some of them are pierced by the flying arrows.
The Chao people, did they really not move? People from Chao are particularly strong in spirit. You asked for the character sword. Why was it difficult to do? There are normally 19 ways of forming this character. What I requested from Broken Sword was the 20th variation. Calligraphy and swordplay both rely on merging the power of the wrist with the spirit of the heart. This 20th variation would reveal the essence of his swordsmanship. To think that one character can be written 19 different ways, how can people communicate when they do not understand each other? Once I have conquered the six kingdoms and suppressed all other rebellious states, I shall rid the country of these hopeless confusions, leaving one unified language for the whole land. Wouldn't that be something? Is your majesty not stopping after defeating the six kingdoms? The six kingdoms are nothing. I intend to lead our army to every corner of this land until we have established a vast and powerful empire.
In his room, an arrow cuts Broken Sword's writing stick in two. He snatches another arrow from midair, breaks off the head, discards it, and uses the shaft to write with. Nameless stands up, and as he walks out of the room, Broken Sword eyes him wonderingly. At the far end of the passage, Nameless sees Snow. They stare at each other.
You must be Mistress Flying Snow.
Why are you leaving?
I'm going to fend off the arrows.
You're not needed. Please retire.
The archers of Qing are legendary. Mistress Snow may not be able to repel them on her own.
Snow hurls herself out of the doors at the end of the passage and lands in the courtyard. Swirling her arms, she fends off the arrows with the billowing sleeves of her orange robe. Nameless dives through the doors at his end of the passage and deflects the incoming arrows with his sword. Together, they shield the building from the arrows. Nameless vaults onto the roof of the school building. Snow notices and spins round with the wide sleeves of her robe, spreading like wings, levitating her onto the roof beside him. Indoors, the calligraphy master and his students carry on writing. In his room, Broken Sword dips a long-handled brush into a pail of red ink and begins to paint the pictogram he's been practicing. On the roof, side by side, in a wild, swirling ballet, Nameless and Snow strike out with sword and billowing sleeves. and the king's arrows fall harmlessly around them. Holding the brush in both hands, Broken Sword swirls it across a huge white banner on the floor, his feet dancing, his long black hair flying. As the onslaught continues, Snow and Nameless spin and leap across the arrow-strewn roof in continuous motion. Broken Sword puts the finishing touches to his writing and contemplates the finished calligraphy at his feet. At the head of the ranks of the besieging army, an officer raises his sword. The troops behind him mirror the gesture. The fall of arrows slows and ceases. At the school, feathered shafts stick out from every surface, like quills on a porcupine. The massed army turns and marches away. On a balcony on the roof of the schoolhouse, Snow and Nameless stand apart, surrounded by fallen arrows, neither of them looking at each other. You were quite brilliant.
Mistress Snow is far superior.
You have not come for the calligraphy. Who are you? Giving him a sidelong glance.
I have brought something to show you. Please, meet me in the library at midnight.
Downstairs, Broken Sword has hung the finished banner on the wall and kneels in front of it. Nameless comes in and stands beside him.
Beautiful calligraphy. Beautiful swordplay. But you have not seen me use my sword. Without your sword, this scroll would not exist. Please, meet me in the library at midnight. I have something to show you. While several hundred thousand Qing troops were preparing the next onslaught, I spent the night contemplating the scroll, hoping to discover the secret behind Broken Sword's skills.
As Nameless talks to the king, two servants unfurl Broken Sword's banner and hang it on the wall behind the throne. The king turns round to look at it.
You say this calligraphy contains the mystery of swordplay, but I cannot see anything unusual here. The brush and the sword are fundamentally connected. Their mystery is only revealed to those who can perceive the connection. And you can. Not entirely. Then how were you able to challenge the two of them?
In the scroll library at midnight, Nameless shows Broken Sword and Snow the box containing the blade of Sky's spear. Broken Sword looks at him evenly.
Sky fell by your sword. Yes. Who are you? Why have you come? I am a citizen of Qing. I have a message from Sky. Speak. Sky said he had always lived his life without burden or responsibility. Only one person had ever touched his heart. Who? Flying Snow.
Broken Sword lowers his eyes. Snow, her straight long hair obscuring one eye, glances at him, then looks away as he glances at her. Nameless watches knowingly.
Sky said he was certain Snow would avenge his death.
Nameless stands. Broken Sword smiles bitterly. At the door, Nameless pauses with his back to them.
If you agree to a duel, meet me at the Qing army encampment tomorrow.
He leaves by a narrow opening in the schoolhouse wall. Snow, leaning against a pillar in the circular red scroll room, stares impassively into the distance, her dark hair falling across her face. Slowly, she walks out, past the tall stacks of bamboo scrolls and the slumped figure of Broken Sword. He doesn't look up at her. In her room, she takes a small curved piece of silver from a wooden box and matches it with the blade of Sky's spear, where some decorative scrollwork has broken off. It fits exactly. Broken Sword seems to hear the sound. Pensively, Snow raises her head. Broken Sword breathes heavily, his eyes brimming with hurt tears. Abruptly, he stands and marches down the passageway. Later, kneeling on a mat in his room, his face is troubled and his lips tremble. Moon, his young assistant, kneels behind him, gently combing out his long hair. He glances over his shoulder. Moon smiles sweetly at him, but he immediately turns away. Snow slips softly along the corridor towards his room. Again, Broken Sword glances over his shoulder at Moon. And this time, as he turns away, his eyes narrow and he smiles to himself. He He throws Moon onto her back and tears open her robe. Snow watches through a gap in the screens as they make love under a sea of red silk. Her eyes welling with tears, Snow turns and hurries back down the passageway. Broken Sword throws back the silk and sits up.
It's all.
Leave now.
Moon, lying on her stomach, reaches out to him with one bare arm.
It's all bah.
Go on.
At the doorway, she looks back at him as he kneels with his face turned away from her, staring at the floor. A bitter tear runs down her cheek. Broken Sword strides down the passageway to Snow's room. He peers through a bamboo screen into her room.
I know you saw us.
She's kneeling with her back to him.
I deliberately wanted you to see us. You are no longer in my heart.
He storms off down the maze of passageways formed by bamboo and paper walls and thin wooden screens. A sword blade pierces one of the screens and sticks into his back. On the other side of the screen, Snow stares at the sword in her trembling hand. She pulls the sword back through the screen. Broken Sword steadies himself against the wall. Snow rushes down the passageway to her room. She staggers, supporting herself with an outstretched hand. Broken Sword's knees buckle. He looks down at his feet. Blood pools around his shoe. Snow sits on a mat in her room, her head bowed, her face hidden by a curtain of black hair. Broken Sword collapses to the floor. Snow, listening to his gasps, hurries back through the passageways. She turns a corner and sees him sitting slumped against a wall. She steps towards a pillar where he can see her. He turns his head and raises his eyes to her. She looks at him uncertainly.
You are?
We are both very foolish.
His eyes glaze over. Snow shrinks back behind the pillar as he slumps to the floor at her feet, his eyes closed. She kneels and tenderly brushes back his hair from his face, tears staining her cheeks. Her face crumples with grief. In daylight in a forest clearing, yellow leaves fall in a steady shower and blanket the ground. Snow, in her flowing orange robes, sits on a twisted tree trunk. Moon stands 20 paces away, staring at her, two swords strapped to her back. Snow doesn't even glance at her. I'm not going to fight with you. Please leave. Moon smiles bitterly, her jaw thrust forward. I'm going to kill you and avenge my master. She draws both swords and runs manically towards Snow, who watches out of the corner of her eye, and at the very last moment effortlessly springs into the air. Moon leaps after her, slashing at her with her two short curved blades. In slow motion, they race through the trees, leaping to impossible heights. They soar into the treetops. Snow sidesteps every one of Moon's blows, keeping her arms to her sides. Moon slices a scrap of silk from Snow's robe. A blade cuts off a lock of her jet black hair. Snow somersaults to the ground. Moon dives down towards her, head first. Snow scornfully ignores the attack, watching instead the lock of her hair drifting towards the ground. Since you want to die, I shall assist you. She draws her sword. A The wind, seemingly whipped up by the sword, blows Moon off her feet into the air. She slams into a tree trunk. Slowly and dispassionately, Snow turns to face the younger woman. Moon, undeterred, rushes at her, both swords raised. Snow leaps high over Moon's head in a swirl of yellow leaves. Their blades flash in circles as they fight. Moon is hurled to the leaf-strewn ground. She rolls over, gets to her feet, and with anger burning in her eyes, attacks again. Snow swirls her sword through the leaves on the ground, and a squall rises, blowing them towards Moon in a yellow whirlwind. Moon dives through the vortex towards Snow, but the whirlwind spins her round, and she falls to the ground without getting near her opponent. With unquelled determination, she leaps to her feet and charges again. Again, with a disdainful expression, Snow sets the leaves spinning. She stands, her blade poised in front of her, as Moon, blinded by the leaves and the whiteness of the low sun, runs through the yellow blizzard towards her. Moon winces. Impassively, Snow raises her eyes from the young girl's impaled stomach to her face. Moon defiantly thrusts her backwards away from her. Snow lands lightly on her feet. The young girl pulls the sword out of her stomach and hurls it at Snow, who calmly sidesteps it and watches it impale itself in the tree behind her. Moon staggers. Blood drips from the sword blade sticking out of the tree. As Snow haughtily turns her back on Moon to retrieve the sword, the younger woman starts to laugh. What are you laughing at? What you did last night was unbelievably stupid. Snow raises her head and her eyes widen fractionally, but her face betrays no other emotion. As Moon's eyes film over, the leaves on the trees and on the ground turn from vibrant yellow to the same orange-red as her robe. Slowly she slumps to the ground. Snow half turns and watches as the falling leaves settle around the dead girl like a blanket. Later, in broad daylight, on the sands outside the walled city, in a circle formed by phalanxes of the king's besieging soldiers, Nameless and Snow duel to the death.
When we fought, I could see that my plan had worked. She was emotional and agitated, unable to focus. I defeated her easily.
Nameless sheathes his sword as Snow collapses. The king listens to the story with keen interest.
Who would have thought that Broken Sword and Snow were emotionally so fragile?
Nameless kneels at the low table, 10 paces from the king. The candles held by the 5 rows of bronze figures on the steps in front of him stir in unison, as if moved by a giant breath. The king looks down at Nameless, brooding.
From what you've told me, your plan relied on setting them one against the other. Yes. And the reason they became enemies was because they were jealous. Yes. Your story appears to make sense. But in my opinion, you have underestimated one person. Who? Me. Would you like to know what kind of impression they made on me? 3 years ago, I had occasion to fight them face to face. I found them both honorable and exceptional, hardly the narrow-minded people you are describing. That is why Snow and Sky having an affair is a lie. Snow and Broken Sword being enemies is a lie. In other words, your entire story is a lie. Only one thing was true. Sky must have known one of you. Which one? You. I suspect you and Sky were allies. You were able to defeat him for one reason only. What reason? He lost to you deliberately.
The king and Nameless lock eyes as the king's version of events is played out.
In order to assassinate me, the two of you staged a fight, using my guards as witnesses. Laying this trap was not difficult. The hard part was in persuading Sky to place his life in your hands. Your sword may be swift, but not swift enough to defeat a master like Sky. Yet he willingly fell under your blade. What courage! What gallantry! So, Sky became your first accomplice. Sky was a proud man who regarded himself without equal in this land. What made him think that you would succeed where he had failed? Unless, in order to assassinate me, you had spent the last 10 years honing a unique skill, a lethal maneuver that no one can counter.
The king glances down at the boxes containing the two swords and the severed spear and signals for them to be taken away.
Having defeated Sky, you could already come within 20 paces of the throne. Why did you need Broken Sword and Snow as well? I suspect you have to be within 10 paces of your target to be effective, so you required one more accomplice to help you advance another 10 paces.
He draws out one sword.
I believe that even though Broken Sword and Snow had never met Sky, they understood at once why he agreed to your plan.
The story returns to the midnight meeting in the Scroll Library, but in the King's retelling, the robes of Snow, Broken Sword and Nameless, the bamboo scrolls and the circular room itself are blue.
How far am I from the bookshelves? About 10 paces.
好,就是十步.
Good. 10 paces it is.
Nameless stamps his foot, making a white jade cup leap high off the floor. While it's in midair, he flies around the circle of stacked scrolls, his sword flashing. He drops to the floor, holds out the flat of the blade, and catches the jade cup without spilling a drop. The threads binding the scrolls start to unravel, and the bamboo strips from which they're made spring apart. The whole circular stack collapses. Surrounded by the debris of unraveled scrolls, Nameless puts the jade cup back onto its stand, sheathes his sword, and bows.
I only need one of you to help me. Please decide between yourselves. Tomorrow morning, at the Qing army encampment.
He walks out of the library, leaving Broken Sword and Snow kneeling a few feet apart, side by side, staring in awe at the fallen scrolls.
How swift his sword is.
Yes.
Sky was one of the greatest warriors of our time, yet he was willing to give his life to this man.
That is why he has the ability to assassinate the king. We must go tomorrow.
To go is to die.
Snow turns to him. Then let us die together. His eyes remain lowered. Later they walk towards each other, down a long corridor, hung with blue bamboo blinds. With each blind they pass through, they see each other more clearly, until they stand face to face, locked in each other's gaze, she in pale blue, he in mid-blue. Side by side they sleep on blue silk. Snow opens her eyes and gazes at Broken Sword, but does not wake him. In the morning, they walk through a landscape of rocky grey hills towards the Qing army encampment. At the crest of a rise, Broken Sword allows Snow to move ahead of him and starts to draw his sword, but she spins round and stabs her sword into his side. He stands amazed. She stares impassively at his wound.
You are one step ahead of me.
She pulls the sword out of his side. He collapses, tries to stand, but falls to the ground. She gasps and kneels at his side. Tearing a strip off her sky blue robe, she wraps it around his waist. I fear I have inflicted too deep a wound.
I should have been the one to go.
I want you to go on living.
If you died, how could I live?
Promise me you will live well when I have gone. He turns his face away, blinking in bewilderment. A tear spills down his cheek.
You sure?
Say it. She turns his face back towards her own, and they gaze devotedly into each other's eyes.
I will.
Tears roll down her cheeks. She nods, and they both lower their heads, weeping openly. Moon will be here soon to take care of you. She turns her head away. I should go. As she stands, he reaches out a hand to detain her. When she ignores it, he unhappily lets it fall to his side. She walks off down the slope to where a white horse waits patiently in a fold in the hills. Broken Sword struggles to his feet. Snow turns round. Broken Sword stands at the top of the slope. Below him, his own black horse, hidden until now, tugs at the scant vegetation. She smiles reassuringly. Broken Sword watches helplessly as she rides away on her white horse, leaving a trail of white dust behind her. The Qing army, horsemen and foot soldiers, race across the arid plain. Clears to reveal that the foot soldiers have formed an arena bristling with spears, in the middle of which Snow and Nameless face each other. The soldiers close in on them. Nameless, dressed in black from head to toe, raises his sword and scabbard towards the commanding officer. Snow glances uneasily from side to side.
Your servant Nameless, prefect of Lanmeng. In pursuit of this assassin, I have ended up in Chao. I request permission to fight her alone. This is a dangerous criminal wanted by His Majesty. It is my duty to take her into custody. I have a prior agreement to fight her alone. If I am unable to succeed, please feel free to step in. Please grant me permission to proceed.
The officer lowers his sword arm, and the circle of soldiers widens again. As Nameless and Snow salute each other, horizontally presenting their sheathed swords, Broken Sword and Moon on horseback race over the hills towards the arena. Nameless comes on guard without drawing his sword from its sheath. Snow draws hers and attacks. Leaping and twirling, he backs away from her spinning, slashing blade. They pause with no advantage either way. Unsheath your sword. Nameless ignores her demand. She attacks again, her pale turquoise robe billowing, and again Nameless uses his sword like a pole vault to avoid her flashing blade. They pause. Snow's robe and sleeves become a whirlwind of blue silk as she spins like a bobbin in the air, raining blows down on her opponent. They both leap and somersault, defying gravity. The commanding officer raises his arm, and the soldiers bang their shields. Make your move now. I die willingly for our cause. Please make your move. Nameless stares at the ground. His hand moves to his sword and grasps the hilt. Snow launches herself towards him. He's still not looking at her. He draws his sword and scythes into her. Smoothly, he returns the blade to its sheath, with his back turned to her, as the color drains from her face and she starts to stumble. How swift your sword is, she says, as her own sword drops into the dust. Her face turns towards the sun, and the sleeves of her robe billow like the sails of a windmill as she tumbles slowly to the ground. The troops watch in silence. Nameless doesn't turn to see her fall, but stands with his eyes closed as if in prayer. On the brow of an overlooking hill, Broken Sword at a dreamlike pace, struggles free from Moon's restraining arms, and gapes down at the arena in horror. As the army march away through the blinding dust, Broken Sword's face contorts with grief. From the dust-blown desert to a serene lake surrounded by wooded hills, their myriad colors reflected in its unruffled, glassy surface. In the lake stands a pavilion, just big enough to shelter Snow's dead body. Broken Sword gazes down at her as the king continues telling his version of events.
I suspect you had a battle with Broken Sword as well. You had just killed his lover. He was on a bound to challenge you to a duel. Just as you and Sky had fought in your minds, this time you fought with your hearts, except your hearts were not in it. Neither of you wanted to harm the other, but were content to go through the honorable motions.
Nameless appears at the lake. He and Broken Sword fight, skimming over the water, defying gravity, and soaring into the air. They swoop down towards the lake, slicing the water with their blades, and run at each other across the mirrored surface. Their swords dip into the water. Their feet leave spreading ripples in their wake as they skim and fly over the placid surface of the lake. Again, they dive towards the water, dousing their swords to the hilt. From a distance and framed by a bough of autumn leaves, their twisting and turning looks like the courtship dance of two slender water birds. Seen from below the water, they race across its surface. The two warriors pirouette through the air like spinning tops. They dip their swords in the water and withdraw them, soaring high into the air. In slow motion, in an unearthly aerial tennis match, they swat a droplet of water back and forth between their blades. It shatters into a thousand pieces, and one tiny drop falls towards the pavilion. Broken Sword turns to see it land, like a teardrop on Snow's cheek. He dives down to the pavilion. Nameless swoops after him. Broken Sword lands softly beside Snow's body, dropping his weapon. Sword outstretched, Nameless hurtles towards his opponent's back as Broken Sword brushes the droplet from Snow's cheek. The gesture makes Nameless falter. He's somersaulted away from the pavilion, spiraling down onto the water. With an outstretched hand, he vaults clear of the surface of the water, tumbling uncontrollably as if fighting an invisible demon. Oblivious, Broken Sword strokes Snow's face. Nameless lands adroitly on the shore of the lake, his back to the pavilion, his expression impenetrable. But droplets of water trickle from his chin like tears. And without looking back, he walks away. Broken Sword clasps his hands as if in prayer and bows his head over Snow's body. Holding the reins of an open horse-drawn carriage, Nameless rides through barren, hilly country away from Chao. Ahead of him, Moon stands on the top of a rise, her blue robe and her long black hair blowing in the breeze, a slim wooden box in her hands. Nameless reins in, and she approaches. My master asked me to give you his sword.
Why has he done this?
Master and Snow will always be together, in life or in death, and their swords will never be apart. She lowers her eyes. Nameless looks down at the box, humbled. She raises her head proudly. Before he left this world, Master asked me to give you his sword to help assassinate the king. Nameless places the box in the back of the carriage, next to one containing Snow's sword. Moon's young face looks up at him challengingly as the breeze flutters through her hair. For a moment he looks at her, then reaches for the reins. She watches him ride away towards the distant mountains, the parasol attached to the back of the rickety carriage swaying perilously as it jolts over the rocky ground. The king continues.
Sky, Broken Sword, and Snow all gave themselves in different ways in order that you could come within 10 paces of me. All three were willing to entrust their lives to you. Surely one can ask no more of a friend. That is why you are the most dangerous assassin of all.
In the great hall, the candle flames held by the bronze warriors flicker towards the king 3 times, as if moved by a powerful but invisible breath. Nameless meets the king's eye.
How did your majesty figure this out? The candle flames in front of me can sense your murderous intent.
They both look at the 5 rows of quivering flames.
The three of them and you were all willing to die for your cause. I am ashamed to say I cannot measure up to your courage. Your majesty has seen through our plan. I have only just worked it out. Why else would I have allowed you to come this close? A man from Qing would never try to kill me. Who are you? I am a man of Chao. My family was killed by the Qing army. Orphaned, I was taken in by a family here in Qing. 10 years ago, I discovered my real identity and made up my mind to assassinate you. So you are here on behalf of Chao.
The king closes his eyes and nods.
I understand now. I presume you have perfected a lethal move. Just as your majesty suggests, there is indeed such a move. And what is it? Within 10 paces, I cannot fail. Within 10 paces, I congratulate you. My guards are outside, 100 paces away, while you are only 10 paces from me. It would seem that I shall not escape my fate today.
The candle flames become agitated, no longer swaying in any particular direction. The king looks sharply at Nameless.
And yet you hesitate. Your majesty is most perceptive. However, you have also underestimated somebody. Who? Broken Sword.
In the 3rd retelling of the meeting in the Scroll Library, Nameless, Broken Sword, Snow and Moon wear white.
It was imperative that I prove to them that my sword was not only swift, but perfectly accurate.
Nameless selects a white bamboo writing stick, throws it into the air, draws his sword, and leaps onto the central dais. He tosses a rack of hundreds of black writing sticks into the air. As they tumble like toothpicks, his eye searches out the single white stick in their midst. He thrusts his sword into the whirling cascade, splitting the white stick lengthwise. The remaining sticks fall to the floor. Snow, with an elderly manservant behind her, and Broken Sword attended by Moon, look on in amazement.
Within 10 paces, I can strike with surgical precision. The sword will enter and exit the body, avoiding all vital organs, so that the wound is deep but not fatal. I respectfully request one of you to take such a blow from me in order to deceive the king.
Broken Sword addresses Nameless.
To take such a blow from you asks a great deal of us. How is Sky now? Almost completely recovered. He certainly had faith in your skills. The security around the king is impenetrable. This is the only way.
Snow. The Imperial Guards are not worth a mention. The King of Qing should have died 3 years ago.
What happened?
Snow turns to Broken Sword.
I did not go through with it.
Snow looks scornfully away. Broken Sword raises his eyes to Nameless.
The King of Qing must not be killed. Broken Sword said that? Yes. Why? I asked the same question. What was his answer? He was unwilling to explain on that day. Sky, Snow, Broken Sword. Of the three, only Broken Sword was my match. That was why what he said next worried me greatly. As long as I am alive, I shall prevent you from assassinating the king.
Snow's eyes widen. I'm willing to help you. Both men look at her. 3 years ago, somebody wasted a golden opportunity. This time we cannot fail. Tomorrow morning I shall meet you at the Qing encampment. Broken Sword and Moon glance anxiously towards Nameless. He bows to Snow. I would like to ask you a favor, she says. Help me to fight him now. Nameless nods, and Snow grabs her sword from her grey-haired servant. She attacks Broken Sword, who's unarmed. He spins and weaves, avoiding her blade. Moon watches in terror. She throws him his sword. Snow shouts to Nameless, "What are you waiting for?"
Although I had agreed to help her, it did not seem honorable to attack Broken Sword. I found myself unable to make a move, although we both knew that if he were left unchecked, our plan would have no chance of success.
Nameless leaps into the air over the dais and knocks Broken Sword and Snow's weapons apart as he passes between them. Snow recovers first and thrusts beneath Broken Sword's arm, stabbing him in the side. Moon gasps. Snow coolly pulls the blade out. Broken Sword staggers against a stack of scrolls. Nameless lands with his back to them all. Behind him, Moon draws both her short swords and flies at him. He parries without even looking round. As Moon and Nameless fight, Snow watches them intently. Broken Sword gazes at her incredulously as he winces with pain. As Snow impassively watches the fight in the circular corridors of scrolls, Broken Sword searches her profile for any sign of emotion. She blinks and glances down. On the central dais, Nameless and Moon slash at each other's legs, leaping, somersaulting, and kicking in a ghostly circular dance. Nameless counters Moon's high kick with a stronger kick and holds the point of his sword at her throat. She eyes him venomously, scorning the invitation to surrender, and knocks his blade away. He disarms her of one sword and again stands with his blade at her throat. She carries on fighting. Contemptuously, he strikes her three times with the flat of his blade and sheathes his sword. One final blow of his sword sends her crashing back into the scrolls. She leaps up, offering to fight unarmed. Broken Sword shouts to her.
You are no match for him. Let it go.
Nameless walks out of the library. Moon rushes to Broken Sword's side as he slides down the stack of scrolls to the floor. Desperately fighting back her tears, she binds his wound, while Snow's passive face betrays no emotion. Broken Sword addresses her implacable profile.
I knew you would do this.
Now you cannot stand in my way.
Even wounded, I can still stop you.
She turns to him. In that case, I shall have to kill you. Moon rushes to Broken Sword's side as he slides down the stack of scrolls to the floor. I worry that I may have wounded him too deeply.
With Mistress's medicine, Master should be out of danger in a day.
Have you delivered the medicine yet?
I tended Master's wounds myself.
After the duel today, take my sword and follow the Qing army into court.
I will.
The Qing guards will not ill-treat a servant. If the assassination is successful, return with a red flag. If it fails, a yellow one.
If Mistress meets with misfortune at the duel, what would be the point?
A tear spills onto her cheek, so that when I look down from heaven, the red flag will bring a smile to my lips. For the third time, Snow faces Nameless in the arena of soldiers. In her white robe, she runs at him and leaps and bounds. He, dressed in black, stands firm, spins his sword, and strikes home. He sheathes his sword. As Snow crumples, Broken Sword and Moon watch from their high vantage point. Later, under a cloudy sky, an open carriage clatters across a sandy plain between layered outcrops of pale rock. Nameless sits beneath the shade of a dark-colored parasol as the driver whips the horses along. Broken Sword, with Moon next to him, holding his sheathed sword horizontally in front of her, watch them approach. Nameless climbs out of the carriage and faces them, a black figure in a white landscape, and greets them with a question.
How is Snow? She is recovering.
Nameless looks down. Broken Sword continues.
I am here without her knowledge. You once said as long as you were here, you would try and stop me. Please abandon your plan to assassinate the king. Did you know I am from Chao? So am I. Does Qing intend to destroy Chao? Yes. Is the king of Qing an enemy of Chao? Yes. Then who do you speak for? How can you call yourself a man of Chao?
Broken Sword lowers his eyes.
Snow asked me the same question once. The year we met, I was a wanderer with no home to call my own. She was the daughter of the great general Chao Qing, who lost his life during a battle against Qing. Snow inherited his sword. She had vowed to avenge her father's death. I wanted to help her. Calligraphy and swordplay share the same source and principles, so we practiced calligraphy every day in the hope that it would refine our skills and increase our power. Snow knew that I had been rootless since childhood, living nowhere and everywhere. She often said to me, once we had succeeded in killing the king, she would take me back to her home. She said no swords existed there, and no swordsmen. There would only be a man and a woman.
As he recalls his first meeting with Snow, against the backdrop of a waterfall, facing each other, both dressed in green, swords drawn, her homeland is pictured as a landscape of shimmering, placid rivers, flowing softly alongside misty, pointed hills, their hazy summits mirrored in the water below them.
The truth of calligraphy has to be intuitively grasped. It is the same with swordplay. Both seek to return to a state of simplicity. Gradually, I began to understand.
Broken Sword sits in the calligraphy school, his face serene and contemplative.
3 years ago, I reached the peak of my training. Snow felt it was time to attempt the assassination. Together, we stormed the palace.
Dressed in green, Broken Sword and Snow charge down the narrow, high-walled passageway leading to the main gate of the palace, scything a path through the black armor and white-plumed crests of the king's masked guard. In the great courtyard, white plumes give way to red, and the red plumes, too, fall under the flashing blades of Snow and Broken Sword. Armored bodies falling like dominoes mark the passage of the two assassins as they fight their way across the courtyard, up the towering staircase to the great hall, straight into the path of another division of white-plumed guards. The tall lattice screen doors of the great hall topple inwards, and Broken Sword stands on the threshold, while behind him at the top of the staircase, Snow single-handedly holds off the remaining guards. The interior of the hall is festooned with broad banners of sheer, pale green silk that waft in the breeze. At the far end of the hall, the king steps into view and draws his sword. He and Broken Sword hurtle towards each other. They leap and pirouette, the king attacking with skill and aggression. Around them, the green silk billows and shivers. Both men swing at each other's legs and leap over their scything blades. Broken Sword vaults into a backward somersault to avoid a slashing blow. The king pursues him, and they leap and soar through clouds of billowing silk. All at once, the king finds himself alone in a ripple of wafting silk. With the long hem of his train trailing behind him, he runs through the vast hall searching out his adversary. Broken Sword glides through the air behind him, a shadow against the silk. By the time the king spins round, his enemy has vanished, only to appear in front of him at the far end of the hall. The king charges, slicing through the intervening banners. As they cascade around him, he looks like a man fighting his way through a waterfall. Finally, the king and Broken Sword face each other across the wide black marble floor. They run at one another, and their sword blades touch, steel sliding over steel in a shower of sparks. Broken Sword closes his eyes and, with a flick of his wrist, disarms the king. As the king's blade spins through the air, Broken Sword slices at the king's throat. Astonished, the king puts his fingers to the tiny cut on his neck knowing his life has been spared. Broken Sword slowly opens his eyes. He spins his sword in his hand, turns, and looks at the king. Snow, still holding off the Qing guards at the doors to the Great Hall, also turns and stares at Broken Sword in disbelief. In two lines on either side of Broken Sword and the king, the banners of pale green silk crumple to the floor.
Snow asked me why I did not go through with our plan. I told her the King of Qing must not be killed. This was something I had come to realize through studying calligraphy. Because I spared the king, Snow turned her back on me.
Among the pale rocky outcrops, Broken Sword, his eyes still lowered, goes on.
Please, abandon your plan. No. Was all your training motivated by hatred and revenge? That's right. For 10 years I worked relentlessly, without a moment's rest. What will it take to dissuade you? You will have to kill me. So you are determined to go ahead? Yes. In that case, I shall make you a gift of 2 words.
Moon hands him his sword. He plunges the scabbard deep into the sand, draws the sword, and with his voluminous white sleeves billowing in the breeze, uses it to carve out the 2 words in the sand. He finishes with a final flourish, and he and Nameless contemplate the writing in the sand.
These words reflect what is in my heart. Please, think again.
Nameless looks up at him and down again at the 2 words. Broken Sword sheaths his weapon.
Moon, give my sword to the nameless hero. Just as Snow and I will always be together, our swords will never be apart.
He mounts his horse and rides away through the pale, wind-sculpted rocks. Again, Nameless studies the writing in the sand. Moon steps towards him resolutely. Nameless Master, even though I am only a lowly servant, please permit me a few words. I have served my master since I was 8. From him I learned the martial arts and how to live with principles. My master is never wrong. What he wrote must be important, Master Nameless. Please consider his advice carefully. She kneels and bows her head before mounting her horse and riding off after her master. In the great hall, the king listens fascinated as Nameless finishes his story.
Which 2 words did Broken Sword write? Our land. Our land. Broken Sword said for years there has been continuous warfare causing huge suffering to the people. Only your majesty has the power to bring peace by uniting our land. He hoped that for the sake of the greater good, I would abandon my plan to kill you. Broken Sword also said, one person's pain is as nothing when compared to the suffering of all. The quarrel between our kingdoms is as nothing when compared to peace for all.
The king shakes his head, trembling with emotion.
Who would have thought an assassin would understand me the best? Alone in my position, I have endured endless criticism, endless attempts on my life. No one has ever grasped what I have been trying to do. Even my own court regards me as a tyrant. And yet Broken Sword, a man I barely knew, was able to see clearly what is truly in my heart.
He nods at the kneeling figure below him and turns away in thought. When he looks back at Nameless, it's as if he's pulling himself out of a trance.
May I know something? Without a sword, how do you intend to kill me? By taking yours.
An admiring smile slowly spreads across the king's face. He draws his sword and tosses it towards Nameless. It impales itself in the low table in front of him.
For 10 years, this sword has accompanied me to every battle. To have been understood by a man such as Broken Sword allows me to face death without fear or regret. Let the good of our country guide your decision.
He turns his back on Nameless, who stares up at him across the line of bronze figures and at the sword quivering vertically in front of him without expression. Slowly he gets to his feet. Outside in the courtyard, hundreds of black-robed courtiers scurry towards the great hall. Like a rising tide, they climb the endless steps to the vast pillared portico. Snow's elderly white-robed servant watches anxiously. At the threshold, they push open the tall latticework doors that form the walls of the great chamber. They line up mutely, staring across the sweeping acres of black flagstones and immense dragon-carved pillars. Out in the desert, Snow and Broken Sword, their white robes rippling in the wind, stand on two separate peaks of the pale, serried rock formations, a great chasm between them, staring in the direction of the unseen palace. In the great hall, Nameless takes up the king's sword and levels it at his back. Outside, red-plumed soldiers jog up the palace steps. The courtiers scuttle aside and the soldiers take up positions on the threshold, lances ready, arrows fitted to their bowstrings. Still, the king stands with his back to them, facing Broken Sword's long white and red scroll hanging on the wall behind his throne. Nameless, with his sword raised, stares implacably at the king. The candle flames held by the bronze figures once again move in unison as the king gazes at the banner behind him.
I have just come to a realization. This scroll by Broken Sword contains no secrets of his swordsmanship. What this reveals is his highest ideals. In the first stage, man and sword become interchangeable. Here, even a blade of grass can be used as a lethal weapon. In the next stage, the sword resides not in the hand but in the heart. Even without a weapon, the warrior can slay his enemy from 100 paces. But the ultimate ideal is when the sword disappears altogether. The warrior embraces all around him. The desire to kill no longer exists. Only peace remains.
Nameless's expression doesn't change, and his sword doesn't waver. He stamps on the ground, launching himself up into the air. With unblinking resolve, he flies over the bronze figures, his sword pointing at the king's back. The king's eyes widen in surprise. Nameless looks down at the hilt of his sword.
Your Majesty, I have completed my mission. Because of my decision today, many will die. And your Majesty will go on living. A dead man begs you never to forget the ultimate ideal for a warrior is to lay down his sword.
He drops his pristine sword, its blade pointing away from the king. Unused. The king turns and watches in amazement as Nameless slowly walks away from him through the great hall, past the boxes of gold offered to him at the beginning of his audience, towards the massed ranks of waiting soldiers. They stand and shuffle aside to let him past, but keep their weapons trained on him. He steps fearlessly in amongst them. Beyond the city, Snow's elderly grey-haired retainer gallops across the desert. He pulls out a large square of yellow silk from his tunic and waves it over his head. Snow, watching, bows her head and weeps bitterly. At the palace, Nameless treads slowly down the steps of the immense staircase leading away from the great hall. Hundreds of soldiers move with him in ranks, their lances pointed at him in a wary circle. Nameless walks serenely on, like the calm center at the eye of a storm. On a white horse with the sun on her face, Snow plunges across the desert sand. Broken Sword on his brown horse pounds after her. the clanking, bristling scrummage of red-plumed soldiers move slowly across the courtyard towards the great gateway, with Nameless unarmed in their midst. In the desert, Snow and Broken Sword, having dismounted, face each other across the blowing sand. Nameless came within 10 paces of the king. He could not have failed. There can only be one explanation. He must have given up willingly. What did you say to him?
I wrote 2 words.
Which 2 words?
Our land.
She looks at him sharply. Is that all there is in your heart?
There is also you.
I don't believe you.
How can I convince you?
She pulls 2 swords from the saddle of her horse, throws 1 to Broken Sword, and unsheathes the other. Draw your sword. You have killed Nameless, betrayed Sky, and destroyed Chao. Draw your sword. He looks at her in puzzlement and lowers his weapon.
When we first met, you asked me to draw my sword then.
He smiles fondly at the memory.
Is the sword the only answer?
I just want you to draw your sword. They face each other 10 paces apart. Snow has her weapon raised. Broken Sword stands with his hands on the pommel of his sword hilt, stubbornly pressing the point of the scabbard into the sand, head bowed, eyes closed. Reluctantly, he complies. Snow runs at him, steely-eyed. In the palace courtyard, Nameless steps out of the ring of soldiers and stands before the huge closed gates. Broken Sword sends Snow spinning away from him across the sand. She turns towards him, but he won't look at her, keeping his eyes lowered. She stares at him intently, until reluctantly he meets her gaze. With a faintly triumphant smile, she launches herself towards him, flying through the air. He raises his sword to parry the blow, but at the last moment, lets it fall from his hand. Snow's sword blade pierces his chest. His own sword lands point first in the sand and slowly topples. He gazes at Snow with the utmost tenderness. Why did you not defend yourself?
So you would finally believe me.
He crumples to his knees.
I've always wanted to go home with you. That will not happen now.
A tear spills down her cheek.
On your own, you must take good care of yourself.
He looks up at her smiling and slumps back on his heels. Her sword protrudes from his chest. She kneels in front of him, putting her hands on his shoulders. Why didn't you block my sword? His chin has sagged onto his chest. She cups his face gently in her hands. Why didn't you block it? She runs her fingers down the line of his jaw. He doesn't move. She kneels back on her haunches. Why didn't you? She asks, gazing at the crown of his head, wisps of his dark hair ruffled by the breeze. Her own head sinks forward helplessly. Two figures kneel in the pale sand. Clouds scud by, and the wind whips at their hair and clothing, making the white silk of their long-sleeved tunics ripple and churn. Moon gallops towards them through the canyons of wind-worn rocks. Now transported to the peak of one of the rocky outcrops, Snow kneels behind Broken Sword's body, one arm around his chest, holding him upright, her cheek against his. As Moon spurs her horse on, Snow lovingly cups Broken Sword's face in her hand, tilting it up towards the setting sun. No more struggle, she says, nuzzling her cheek against his hair and whispering into his ear. I shall take you home now. To our home, a place without borders. With one hand, she reaches down to her sword, still protruding from his chest. As Moon, wailing desperately, clambers up the rocky slope towards them, Snow drives the sword back through Broken Sword's chest so that it passes through his body into her own. Her eyes slowly close, the hand cupping his chin falls limply to her side, and her head sags forward onto his shoulder. Moon, running towards them, falls to her knees in a frenzy of grief. At the great gate of the palace, Nameless turns impassively and faces the semicircle of soldiers standing behind him. They part to reveal on the palace steps hundreds of red-plumed archers in serried ranks. In the great hall, black-robed councillors scurry across the steps to the royal throne, chanting, "Your Majesty, permission to execute." As the king gazes out over the courtyard to the gates, an officer orders the archers to prepare. Nameless, maintaining his composure, stands with his back to the enormous black wooden gates of the palace and faces the archers.
"This man cannot be trusted,"
the councillors cry.
"He tried to kill you. Do not spare him. This is the sacred law of Qing."
The king closes his eyes.
"If your majesty is to unite the land, this man has to be made an example of."
The king looks up sharply.
"Majesty, execute him."
The cry to execute is repeated by the soldiers. Lifting his eyes to the gates, the king raises his hand and brings it decisively down.
"Execute him,"
cry the councillors. The king watches with a firm set to his jaw, but a moist eye, as the cloud of arrows descends. Nameless faces the onslaught without expression. The king's eyes narrow fractionally. Below him, the candles held by the bronze figures barely flicker. The courtiers around the king stand as if they too were made of bronze. The wooden gates are thickly studded with hundreds and hundreds of black arrows, except at the very center, where there is a gap in the shape of a man. A body covered in red silk is carried on a bier on the shoulders of 8 red-plumed soldiers. Others escort the cortege in formal procession, following it down the high-walled, shadowy passageway leading from the courtyard. Their lances are raised, the red feathers on their helmets sway with the slow rhythm of their feet. They thrust their lances skyward. On the crest of one of the hundreds of rocky outcrops that rise from the pale sand beyond the city walls, the kneeling, white-robed bodies of Snow and Broken Sword lean against each other. On the tall wooden gates of the courtyard of the palace, the outline of Nameless's body appears like a clearing in a forest of arrows. And in the cavernous, black-pillared chamber, the king stands alone. Captions appear, superimposed on a vista of mountains with the Great Wall of China snaking into the distance. The nameless warrior was executed as an assassin, but buried as a hero. The King of Qing went on to conquer all of the 6 kingdoms and unite the country. As China's first emperor, he completed the Great Wall to protect his subjects. This was more than 2,000 years ago, but even now, when the Chinese speak of their country, they call it our land. This audio description was written and narrated by Veronica Hicks and Stephen Dobbin for IMS. Directed by Xiang Yimou. Jet Li. Tony Leung Chi Wai. Maggie Chung Man Yuk. Xiang Ziyi. Chen Dao Ming. And Donnie Yen. Screenplay by Li Feng, Xiang Yimou, Wang Bin. Story by Xiang Yimou, Li Feng, Wang Bin. Produced by Bill Kong, Xiang Yimou. Executive producer Do Shou Fang, Zhang Wei Pin. Director of Photography, Christopher Doyle, HKSC. Action Director, Tony Ching Siu Tung. Edited by Zai Ru, Angie Lam. Sound design by Tao Jing. Production design by Ho Ting Xiao, Yi Zian Zhao. Costume design by Emmy Wada. Music composed and conducted by Tan Dun. Violin solos and fiddling by Itzhak Perlman. Associate producer, Jiang Jian Yan. Line producer, Philip Lee. Cast: Nameless, Jet Li. Broken Sword, Tony Leung Chiu Wai. Flying Snow, Maggie Chung Man Yuk. Moon, Xiang Ziyi. King, Chen Dao Ming. Sky, Donnie Yen. Scholar, Liu Zong Wan. Old Servant, Xian Tian Yong. Prime Minister, Qin Yan. General, Chang Xiao Yang. Commander, Xiang Ya Kun. Head Eunuch, Ma Wen Hua. Eunuch, Yin Ming. Pianist, Zhu Quang Hua. Musician, Wang Xiao Jin. Seven Qin Guards, He Ji, Chao Hua, Li Lei, Jia Bin, Peng Qiang, Liu Ji, and Xiang Yi. Director, Battle Sequences, Jiang Jinzan. Cameraman, Zhao Zhao Ding. Steadicam Operator, Li Bao Quan. Location Scout and Additional Battle Sequences, Cameraman, Hu Yong. First Camera Assistant, Brett Matthews. Still Photographers, Yoshio Sato, Li Zhu Rong. Storyboard Illustrator, Wu Ming. Lighting Designer, Ji Jian Min. Chief Makeup Artists, Quan Li Na, Yang Shu Dong, Yang Xiao Hai. Chief Hairstylist, Xiao Xiu Miu. Wardrobe Supervisor, Huang Bao Rong. Production Sound Mixer, Tao Jing. Fight Choreographer, Tung Wai. Martial Arts Coordinators, Li Kai, Wong Wai Leung. Post-Production Supervisor, Jane Maguire. Post-Production Coordinator, Geng Ling. Post-Production Assistant, Kerry Dibbs. Australian Picture Post-Production Facility, Spectrum Films. Australian Post-Production Sound Facility, Sound Firm Australia. Visual Effects Supervisor, Ellen Poon. VFX Associate Producer, David Valentin. Visual Effects by Animal Logic Film. VFX Supervisors David Dulac, Andrew Brown. Visual Effects by The Orphanage. Visual Effects Supervisor Jonathan Rothbart. Visual Effects by Tweak Films. VFX Supervisor Christopher Horvath. Wire Removal, Asia Legend Limited. Cinefax Workshop Company Limited. Digital Magic Limited. Menfond Electronic Art and Computer Design Company Limited. English Subtitles by Linda Javin. Film Laboratory, ATLAB Australia. Subtitles by SBS Language Services. Titles and end credits by Optical and Graphic. Music composed and conducted by Tan Dun. Violin solos and fiddling by Itzhak Perlman. Additional fiddling by Tan Dun. With the Coda Drummers of Japan, the China Philharmonic Orchestra and Chorus, the National Symphony Orchestra of China, the Ancient Now Ensemble of Shangsa Museum. Ku Chin, Ancient Lute, Solo Liu Li, Soprano Yu Yan. Producers Tan Dun, Grace Rowe. Scoring and Mix Engineering, Richard King. Music Recording Editor, Yuan Lin Chen. Production Manager, Lulu Zhang. Music published by Parnassus Productions, Inc., ASCAP. Itzhak Perlman and Tan Dun recorded at Sony Music Studios, New York. Kodo recorded at Amusement Sado, Japan. Sound engineer from Kodo, Takuro Suzaki. A&R Coordination, Sony Music Japan, Inc., Chinichi Togami. Go Haraga, Anri Namiki. Mobile Recording Unit, Sound Creators. Orchestra and Chorus recorded at Oasis Studio, Beijing. Associate Engineers Summer Shen, Minjon Lin. Studio Coordinator Wang Li Tay. Studio Supervisor Patrick Kwok. Additional Music Editors Simon Leedley, Tim Ryan, Katrina Schiller. Soundtrack available on Sony Classical. Special thanks to Unit 68213 of CLA, Unit 73051 of CLA, Hengdian Group Corporation, Zhenyang Movie and TV Tourism Company Limited, Shanshan Group Company Limited China, Jinbei GM Automotive Company Limited, and Mark Norfolk. Copyright 2002, Elite Group Enterprises, Inc. Elite Group Enterprises, Inc. is the author of this film for the purpose of all copyright and other laws. While this motion picture is based on historical events, characters and incidents have been composited, invented, and fictionalized.